Today I bring you special greetings from the churches in Haiti, and I want to thank you for your prayers and your faithful support. In fact, like I was telling someone that this is really when my family was going to Haiti as a missionary back in 93, when in 92 we came to the district conference, and Lens has been the first church to pick us up as missionary, and you have been with us through hard times and supporting us. And you know what happened is that my girls, when they first came here, one of them was like maybe 2 or 3 months old. And now she is a graduate student at the University of Tennessee. And when I talked to one of my daughters last night, and I told her about going to Lens today, she told me that, I wish I could go with you, because some of the sweetest memories while we were missionaries is when they receive gift from the Lens ladies. My girls always talk about the Lens ladies, how you have been so gracious to us over the years. And also, every year, we have something that we do at our church. It's getting people who have been living together without being married. And the church has a special wedding. And during those weddings, we just give them dress to wear. We give them rings, and we do a reception for them. And sometimes I would marry about maybe 10, 11 couples at a time. And so that's once the person become a Christian, we ask them if they have been married. And I say, now you are a Christian, you need to get married. And then we have been using some of the dresses that you have sent us. And we almost every time that somebody is getting married in the church, they come and get a dress. And then we send it to the dry cleaner. And then they look very beautiful, wearing the wedding dresses. And it has been a joy to serve the Lord. It has been a joy to serve the Lord, not a lot of challenges. A lot of challenges, but it has been a joy. It's, you know, one of the most exciting things about missionary is to take somebody who doesn't have anything to do with being a Christian, somebody who has been talking bad about a Christian, somebody who has been living a life, lost, somebody who has been lost. And then you take that person and share the word of God with him, and that person trusts Christ and start living a holy life. And sometimes when we get discouraged, we just look at some of these people, what God has done to them, and that kind of encourages our hearts. And today, I want to share with you about what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian. Maybe you have been a believer for many years, but you have never thought about who are you really, and what does that mean when you say that you are a Christian. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he had chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we live among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idol to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. When I go to Haiti, I am seeing different businesses, and sometimes they use Christian words. Like I saw a little bus, a small bus, and the name of the bus was God is Good. I went somewhere, I saw somebody who has a business, and the name of the business was Jesus Save Me. I went somewhere and saw another business, the name of the business was The Blood of Jesus. I went somewhere and somebody called his business Maranatha. And I saw everywhere people write things like, Christ will come again. There is a big cattle truck that has written on it, Jehovah Jireh. And somebody asked me, is it because all these people are Christian? And I answered that it's not because they are Christian that they are using Christian words. It's because that these people think that when you use Bible word or religious word, it brings luck to your business. You know, you become lucky. You might be successful in the business. You might make more money because you use some kind of religious word. That happened many people in Haiti. Once you're born in Haiti, you call yourself a Catholic. And the people of Haiti mostly practice Catholic and voodoo. And then when you ask a Haitian, what's your religion? He's probably, he won't say that he's voodoo, but he's going to say that he's Catholic. And so Catholic by association, because he was born in Haiti, and Haiti is a country predominantly Catholic. And this is the same thing being in the United States. Most American will call themselves Christian. And many of us believe that there is a God somewhere. And a lot of time, we are born in the church, and we have come to church all our lives. We have gone to vacation Bible school, and we have had parents who brought us to church. And what happened a lot of times as a pastor for many years, I have found out that most people come to church because church is a social event. It's somewhere where you meet old friends, you meet people, we have lunch together, we have dinner together, we call ourselves, and those people, most of them, they are dedicated to live the right way. I mean, that means there are certain things that you don't do, and they are good. There are certain things we teach our children not to do, and those things are good, you know. We teach them to live the right way. And we read the Bible. And when we read our Bible, so that kind of keeps us out of trouble. You know, we're just living on certain biblical principles that keep us out of trouble. And sometimes this is why people want to be Methodists, Baptists, evangelical free churches. And, you know, you just want to be religious somehow. And when you are thinking at that, being a Christian, you went to camp as a young person, and you align yourself with some kind of ideas that you are a Christian. You know, but what happened is that in my religious experience, in my pastoral experience, I am meeting a lot of people who do the right things, would never get in trouble. And people would consider them even special citizens. People who give money to the church. People who are in all kind of activities of the church. People who are in choirs, who play music in the church, but who have never been transformed by the power of Christ. And this is the most dangerous thing to observe, that sometimes we believe, we forget what it means to be a Christian. Because I want you to know first that being a Christian is being transformed. Because the power is not something that you can take like by, you don't appear to be a Christian. It's not like being a Christian is not like a title. It's not something that you do to please people. But it's something that is moved by the power of God. In fact, back in Acts chapter 11, when they were calling people Christian, it wasn't like some compliment. When they were calling a Christian, it was to kind of telling you, to cut you down, they call you a Christian. Because a Christian then was, when they want to make fool of you, when they want to make a fool of you, they call you a Christian. Because a Christian then was supposed to be somebody who followed Christ. And when we are thinking about what it means for us to be a Christian, we have been going to church for 10 years, for 20 years, for 5 years. And you are thinking like, what it means for me to be a Christian? And I want you to know today, being a Christian, that means living like Christ. Being a Christian is thinking like Christ. Being a Christian is walking like Christ. Being a Christian is make decision like Christ. Being a Christian is living my life like Christ. Being a Christian is treating people just like Christ would treat them. Being a Christian is make certain sacrifices just Christ would make them. And in fact, a Christian is someone, a Christian is someone who watches, who listens to all the teaching of Christ and live according to those teaching. That's what a Christian is. In fact, if you want to make a definition of a Christian, you would say that it's someone who professes belief in Jesus Christ or follow, it's like a religion who teaches according to the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. So, if you call yourself a Christian today, you are going to see three things as a Christian. First, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to follow Jesus Christ. You have to live like Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ, follow Jesus Christ, and then living just like Christ. And I am looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, when you come to verse 4, it tells us exactly what a Christian is. This is a passage that defines exactly what a Christian is. In verse 4, we find the first principle that says that a Christian is someone who is chosen by God. He says, my brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. What excites me about being a Christian is that I see that this is something, I'm somebody special. It's not something that just happened. It is something that is planned. When you try to build a house, you have somebody draft the plan of the house for you. And within that plan, before you even try to do the first day of work, you look at your plan. It tells you where the bathrooms are going to be. It tells you where the living room is going to be. It tells you what the outside is going to look like. And then when the builders come, all the builders have to do is follow that plan. You know, if a bathroom is supposed to be to the right part of the building, he put it to the left part, then he has to redo it because that's not the plan. You know, when I'm thinking about like when God designed the world, he put like a special, he put my name, he put like a, he designed something special for me. So as a believer, as a Christian, I believe out of 1 billion people, 4 billion people, 5 billion people in this world, I am somebody that God has chosen. You know, out of many people, this is something that is very special. You know, when one thing I like about doing, the one of the things that I like a lot is performing weddings. And something about wedding is that when this man brings this woman to marry her, most of the time this man is excited. This woman is excited. And when you are thinking about marriage, and you keep on thinking like, say, if there are 4 billion people in this world, so that means there are at least 2 billion women. Why out of 2 billion women, this man decide to pick that one? Why that one? And when you think about it, she's not really the most beautiful person in the world. She's not really the smartest person in the world. You know? But that the one he has chosen. Why? Because he loves her. And because he is special, because she is special to him. And that's why he decided to go forward to marry her. Because out of 2 billion women, there are million and million, there are several people that this man could have picked. But he decided that that's the one I want. And without that one, I feel like my life doesn't make any sense. And this is that same thing that excites God when he's looking at me. Look at what the Bible says, that why did God choose me? The Bible says here, because he loves me. You know, when God see me going in a bad direction, I mean, that kind of sadden his heart, because he loves me. Before he even started this world, before he even created the world, before eternity, he was thinking about me. You know, and when you think that way, that kind of move you to have a special relationship with the God who loves you, with the God who has chosen you. So being here in this church, it's not an accident. It's not by accident. It's not by chance. It's something that God designed, that you would be listening to the word of God, that your life would be changed. And that's what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian is that God loves me and he has chosen me. And I'm special in his sight. And that's what 1 Thessalonians is telling us. And he's telling us that God loves us and God has chosen us. And we are special in the sight of God. The second thing you can look at is that in verse 5, that a Christian is somebody who has responded to the gospel message. You know, like what happened is that because God has chosen us through the power of the Holy Spirit, there has been conviction of our heart. The Holy Spirit has convicted us of sin. And now there has been changes in our life because our gospel came to us not simply with word, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And someone who is a Christian, if you are a Christian today, if you have been saved 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you feel within yourself the power of God. If you have been saved 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, you feel within yourself certain conviction towards sin. And you want to tell the world that the world needs a Savior. And this is what's happening in the heart of people who understand the love of God. In the heart of people who understand a God choosing, there is a transformation that is being made through the power of God. And that has developed a changed heart. In verse 6, the Bible says that since we have been loved, since we have been changed, since we have developed that deep conviction, we became imitators. So when we think of suffering, we face the tribulation of life, not in view of earthly suffering, but in view of eternity. When we think of life, we think of eternity. When we think of the pressure of society, what is in this world doesn't mean anything to us. Because what is precious to us is eternity, what is eternal. In verse 6, we became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the people of Thessalonica being pressured to the limit, but they have received the word with joy. You know what happened is that when we are thinking of the trials of life, when we are thinking of sickness, when we are thinking of problem, when we are thinking of the difficulties, and as a believer who has been transformed by God, we have tendency to accept everything in the plan of the Lord. My mother came to the United States 1 month ago to have some medical testing done. And I received a call while I was in Haiti. My sister called me and said that, you know what? It's very sad. I said, what it is? The doctor said that mom has colon cancer. And that was a very sad day for the family. We were very sad. I was very sad. My dad was very sad. And everybody in the family, I was calling my sisters who live in the United States, and everybody started talking. But I haven't talked to my mom yet. When I called my mom, and I told her that here's what I heard. Did you talk to the doctor? What did the doctor say? And she started talking to me. And my mom keep on saying that, my mom has been a believer since she was like 10, 11 years old. And she has a very strong faith. And she believed that everything that happened to her is in the Lord's plan. And she said that, come on, you guys. Don't worry about me, because I am in God's hand. And it's kind of sad. In a sense, it's kind of sad. In one way, it was kind of sad. And in another way, it was kind of listening to my mom saying that, listen, guys, if it's time to go, time to go. I said, but mom, the doctor say you have to have surgery. So tomorrow she's going to have surgery in Miami. My mom said that I don't have to have surgery. If it is time for God to call my name, I'm ready to go. Listen how heaven is going to be. But that's the thinking of someone who has been transformed by the power of God. When we have been transformed by the power of God, we believe that, hey, suffering in this life is just something very superficial in comparison to the reality of heaven. That's what it is. Being a Christian is understanding that the turns of life, the up and downs of life, doesn't affect in any way my relationship with the Lord. Because I know the ups and downs will come, the sickness will come, the cancer will come, the stroke will come, whatever else will come, death will come. But as a person who is loved by God, who has been chosen by God, who has a relationship with God, there is something eternal that no one can take away from me. And no circumstance in life will take away from me. In verse 7 and 8, we find out that there is a change. Somebody who is a believer is somebody who has been changed. If you are a Christian, your life has been changed. And I'm telling people from my church every day that how do you know you are a Christian? Look at your life in 2010 and compare it to your life in 2016. There should be a difference. Because God is working in your life every day. If you are a believer, God is taking you from step A to step B. You're going from 1 to 5. You're going from 1 to 2. You know, if you go from 1 to minus 2, that's when you know that the power is not working in your life. Here, the Bible is telling us that as a believer, in verse 7, we have become a model. A model. What is a model? There is an impression made. There is something that other people can see. There is something that other people can visualize. A Christian is a light that is shining. Other people can see you shining. Other people can see your light and glorify God. In fact, like Jesus cast out demons in Mark chapter 5. Jesus cast out a demon out of a man. And Jesus told them to go and show your family, your friends, your community, so they can see that light that is in you. So a Christian is someone whose light is shining. There is a woman in December 2014. There is a woman in our church who was getting baptized. December 31st, 2014. And every December and every May, we have a baptism. And sometimes we have 40, 50 people who are getting baptized at a time. One time we had like 108 people who get baptized at a time. This time I had a class of baptism, about 86 people who were ready to get baptized in December 2014. And all the people who were getting baptized in the church in Cap Haitien, they dressed in white and they sat in the front rows. And I had a message and share with them about the stories of what God has been doing in the life of these people, how he has brought them to this point. And after we sang some songs and prayed, and we were ready for the baptism. And before the baptism, I was ready to go baptize like 86 people that night. And then I asked them, before we have this baptism, I would like to know if there is one of you who are going to be baptized who have a special, something special to share with the church. And there is a lady who came forward. The lady started sharing her testimony. The lady said that when she was 7, her parents took her to a witch doctor, and that witch doctor put a special evil spirit in her. And from that time on, every December 31st, there is a special voodoo ceremony that the whole family does. So in order for the service to go on, the devil has to indwell that little girl. And it's through that little girl that everything, all the satanic messages are communicated to the family. And that little girl told, that young woman at the time told us that all her life she has been a messenger of Satan. To her, all the satanic spirit would come and then she would have special messages to communicate with the family. And that woman is explaining to us in the church how she has family members coming from all over Haiti to gather at that one place once a year to have that voodoo ceremony, and she would be transformed, and then she would have certain messages to communicate to the family. But December 31st, 2014, there was a difference. She said that in November of that year, somebody invited her to come to our church. She heard the message of the gospel, and she got saved. Now, the problem. The whole family gathered December 31st. They're waiting for her to come because it's through her that the evil spirit is going to communicate a special message to the family. And then she said that all afternoon, her family is calling her. We haven't seen you. We haven't seen you. We haven't seen you. What time will you be here? Because we need to start by 7 o'clock. And she was waiting, and they have been waiting for her. Crowd, everybody, all the relatives, you just get together at that special place where that is going to take place. And it wasn't until 6 o'clock she called her dad. And she said, "Dad, I am not coming. I didn't tell you anything, but I am not coming to that voodoo ceremony." They say, "Why? You have to come, because it's going to be a shame, because there are family coming from all over the place." He said, "But I'm not coming." They wanted to know why. He said, "Let me tell you something. Back in November, I trust Christ as my Savior. I want you to know that since November, I have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit." And she said, "Since November, that evil spirit that used to come and indwell me to communicate satanic message to the family, that evil spirit is gone because I am indwelt with a higher power." And he said, "Dad," they said, "you have to come anyway." He said, "No, I cannot come because I have been washed by the blood of Christ. I have been transformed. Now I have a new message to share with the family, that Jesus is Lord. If you want me to come, I'm going to tell them that they need Jesus as Savior. And let me tell you something. There is something great that has happened to me. And tonight, I'm going to do something special. I'm going to be baptized because I want to show the whole world that I'm a Christian." And she said, even as she is in the service, a phone keep on ringing because they want her to come and be part of that ceremony. And she say, Pastor, I want to be the first one to be baptized because I can't wait to show that testimony to the world so Satan can see that I am not his anymore. I belong to the Lord. What happened is that when we become Christian, there is a special transformation in our life. We used to have profanity in our mouth. In our mouth, the filthy words and stuff like that. Now we are proclaiming the word of God. We used to hurt other families. Now we are blessing other people. We used to be ashamed to our family. Now we're bringing joy to them. We need to be selfish. Now we are sharing ourselves with other people. We need to fool people with lies. Now we are sharing the truth that changed. We used to live a dirty life. Now we have been washed. We have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You used to kill babies. Now we are saving the lives of other people. We used to blaspheme the name of the Lord. Now we are proclaiming his name wherever we go. That is the change that happened to someone who is a Christian. And you know, when you look at verse 9 and 10, and as a Christian, if you are a Christian, we are living on a mission. A mission is to sit and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord and wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for Christ to come. I'm waiting someday to see Jesus face to face. That's what I'm living for. Being a Christian means turning from the old life, serve the living God, and wait for Jesus' return. That's what being a Christian means. You know, so what we see is that God chose us. We listen to the true preaching of Christ. We have accepted him as Lord and Savior. Our lives have been changed. You know, maybe 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 months ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you have accepted Christ as Savior. And how can you say that it was a true profession? You can show your changed life as proof that you have been redeemed. So, this is what makes me satisfied with God. I'm looking at what he has done in my life as what he has done for other people. And it's in a sense, it's a sense of excitement to know that there is power in the blood of Christ. I want to ask you a question today. Are you a Christian? Leave it up. Are you a light? Shine. Let other people see that your light is shining. And if God is working in your life, and grab somebody else and rescue them to the glory of God. Today we want to praise the name of God for what he is doing in our life, for what he has been doing. And I want you to know that the grace of God has been working in our lives, not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan all along, because he truly loves us and he's doing his work to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you have changed our lives. Thank you, Lord, because you have changed the world. You have a plan for this world. You don't want this world to perish. but you want people to repent and be saved and be changed. Use us, Lord. Use us in a mighty way so that other people might come to know you. Let our light shine everywhere we go so that we can proclaim your name to the whole world. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Amen.